Lindsay, good morning. How are you? Nice to see you this morning.
You too.
We both were sharing a conversation before we got on the air this morning that we both have slept well. So hopefully that means it's going to be a really good show. Don, good morning to you. Jordan Burnfield sitting in the hot seat this morning. How are we doing?
Doing well. How are you, Lou?
Lindsay? Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, everybody's good.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, there she is. Okay, answering the phones already. The phones are ringing, which is awesome. Yeah, everybody's good. And we've got a lot coming up this morning. We have a Noodaloo 2 that you can use inside your kitchen. And a little bit later on this morning, I'm going to have a conversation with a gentleman, a marketing director of a company that makes solar powered backup generators, which I thought was pretty interesting. And no gas, no oil, no nothing. And according to the company, they can power, if it's sized properly, you could power something like a refrigerator for 7 days on a single charge. I thought that was kind of interesting. Not inexpensive, but offers a different kind of solution for somebody that maybe doesn't want the whole house, you know, gas-powered or natural gas-powered generator. So that's coming up a little bit later on this morning on House Smarts Radio. But let's get to your phone calls, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Susan in Lyle. Susan, good morning. Suzanne, I'm sorry.
Good morning.
I'm sorry,
thank
Suzanne,
you.
I'm sorry.
Susan, same thing.
Oh, it is Susan. Okay, thank how you. Can I help you?
Thank you. We have a 60-year-old house in Lyle. And there is a copper pipe very inconveniently located right above the furnace that is now leaking. So we called the furnace guy because we thought at first it was the furnace. He said, you don't need me, you need a plumber. And so then the plumber comes and said, okay, I can do the pipe, but you need the HVAC guy to take down the ductwork so I can get to the pipe.
Oh, no.
So is there anybody that does both of these things that will send me an HVAC guy and a plumber at the same time to coordinate this, because I can get one or the other, but they don't seem to be of the same company, and it's very hard to coordinate.
Yes. So, you know, what's happening now within the industry is that a lot of the HVAC, you're probably seeing the ads on TV where these companies are like, we'll do your HVAC right. And your plumbing and your electric. For right. you in Lyle, I think that you could a couple of different people you could call, and this is for my Chicago-based audience here. Dykstra Home Services is an HVAC company on the south side, but I think they do go to Lyle, and I believe that they offer the ability to handle the plumbing, so you could try them. If not, there's a company out of Aurora, I believe it's Aurora. No, they're not Aurora, but Perfect Home Services. And okay. I know that they offer plumbing services, and they may go to Lyle. And that way you can kill two birds with one. It is Aurora. And they'll kill two birds with one stone. And
most helpful.
Right. And you know, be able to coordinate, you know, today to be able to coordinate it all and not have to, you know, you don't have to do a dance to get somebody to do the work.
Well, and all the trades are overwhelmed right now. I understand.
It's
that.
Crazy. It's.
Wait.
I mean, it yeah, is. It is crazy. Yeah. Okay. Give them a
we
call.
We have a Band-Aid on it. Thank you so much. You do great work. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. This is Dee Dee, who's in Westchester, New York. Hi, Dee Dee. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, good morning, Lou. You are such a bright, cheery Saturday morning wake-up. Love it.
That is so
now,
nice.
I have a naughty problem for you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's not. This is a home in. Dee Dee, this is a home improvement show. The naughty show is overnight.
No.
Oh, okay,
not
okay.
Naughty.
Oh.
Naughty.
Yeah. Oh, like naughty. Got it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. All right, go ahead. You
I'm
can go.
I'm doing some renovations, and I have bought a new door for my bathroom, which is a wall hanging barn door. And it looks like a barn door. Made of knotty pine.
Nice.
And it has a very light white wash over it. And of course, I can see all the knots there, too. So I want to paint it white. But I know if I just paint it, those knots are going to show right through. And I want to know, what can I do to prevent that?
Okay, so it isn't that you're trying to not... You would just like it a consistent color. The fact that you're going to see the different, design texture. Of the knot, that the texture, that's fine.
That's fine. Okay. No problem at all. In fact, I want that.
Okay. So to cut down on the bleed, you're gonna buy a quart of a stain-killing primer that is a shellac-based, and it's by... Mm-hmm. It's by Bin, B-I-N,
okay.
Stain-killing primer. And you want the solvent-based primer.
Okay.
Then what I want you to do is in the specific areas where you have the knots, I want you to lightly sand the whitewash just to open up that texture a little bit. You don't need to go crazy. You're going to take a sanding sponge, and you're going to just go with the grain a little bit. You know, I mean, obviously the knot doesn't have a grain, but you know what I mean. And then with a brush, I want you to just brush on this stain-killing primer right over the top of all those knots you want to cover.
Okay, not the whole door, just the knots.
No, just the knots. Now,
when
that dries, and it's a very pungent smell, so just make sure you can have windows open so you can, let the air breathe a little bit. It'll dry in a couple of hours. Then I want you to use a really good acrylic latex. Do you have a sheen in mind on the door? Do you want semi-gloss or do you want something more matte?
No, I want it to be a little rustic, like a silk
Okay,
finish,
so maybe a satin, like a satin, because it'll be easy to clean.
Yes.
But you want 100% acrylic paint, okay? And that the acrylic is what's going to really help seal it and then give you the durability. Benjamin Moore makes really good interior trim paint. There's also, actually, I'm just trying to think of what the finish is. It might be a little too shiny for you, but at Ace they make a a cabinet and trim paint that is under their Clark and Kensington line, and it's an alkaline based self leveling trim paint that's very durable. And will cover all of that. And you could buy that, I believe, in a quart. And that's a really good paint as well. And you can clean up the brushes with soap and water.
Oh, for that. So the name of that paint from Ace is
it's by
what?
Clark and Kensington, which is the which is the brand. And it's their what's called their cabinet and trim paint.
Okay.
Very good paint for this application.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's just a pleasure to talk to you. I listen to you every Saturday.
You are very kind, Dee Dee. And
cheer me up.
You can call anytime you want with your naughty, your naughty questions.
Okay.
All right.
Great talking to you.
I have a great day. Appreciate you calling. I was a little worried about where that was going with Dee Dee, Anyway, that's how it works. Just pick up the phone and give us a call, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Hello, Ed.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
I'm
how are you?
Good.
How may I help you, sir?
Okay, we have a boiler in the house. And for some reason or other, the attic is not, the radiator in the attic is not throwing any heat.
Okay. That's the highest radiator in the house?
That's correct, yes.
Hot water boiler or steam?
Hot water.
Okay. And have you bled any of the radiators yet?
Yes, I have.
And when upstairs in that attic space, is it a standing radiator or baseboard?
No, they're all standing. Yes.
Okay. And if you go with your little bleeder key up in that upper one, does it spit out any water?
Yes, it does.
But it doesn't maintain anything. Like when you do that, you don't feel like the radiator gets any warmer.
Right, correct. That's right.
Okay. So let's try this. Turn your thermostat up, you know, to 75 degrees so that the pump starts running and the radiator really starts cooking. And I want you to, starting at the lowest, the closest radiator to the boiler, I want you to bleed that one. And I want you to work your way all the way up, almost like you're climbing a rope, until you get to the top. And bleed that top radiator. So, you know, you're going to, as you're using that key and you're bleeding it and you got a little bowl there, when it stops spitting and sputtering and it's a steady stream of water, shut it off, kill it, right? And then go to the next one, do the same thing and work your way all the way up. And when you get up top, you're going to really, you're going to need a bigger bucket because I want the stream of water to come out when you get it to be warm. It's got, you got to feel the temperature change. And okay. And obviously make sure that the valve up there is open, which it should be. But do you have, let me ask you this, Ed, do you have specific rooms perhaps that are warmer than the other ones on the lower levels?
No.
Everything's pretty consistent. Pretty consistent. Okay. So try this, and if you are unsuccessful with that, then we're going to need a boiler contractor to come out and see if the entire system needs to be bled or potentially the line going up there needs to be flushed. There could be some sediment. The other thing, too, I would try is I would turn the valve that's on that radiator upstairs. Go ahead and turn it all the way off, turn it all the way on, articulate it a few times before you do the bleeding. And that way you can just make sure that if there's any sediment there that's clogging it, sometimes that's all it takes to free it up.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see what you're talking about.
Try
yeah,
that. Try
like a rush or a flush.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So try that. But the key is you got to crank up the boiler so that it's really working and go from there. Okay.
Okay, great. I thank you very much.
You got it. Call me back next week and let me know what happens if that worked. I was driving yesterday, and my my wife calls me and says, "You need to call my father." I know that a lot of people say this, but I have the most amazing father-in-law, Henry, who is 89 years old, the grandfather to our children. Who I tell him this all the time that he is my model of who I want to be as a grandfather. He's just a terrific guy. And, you know, he lives alone in the house that he raised my wife's family in. And anyway, I go over and do a little work here and there. And he calls and says, the whole house humidifier is not working. The water's not coming out. And I had gone there to fix something that was leaking. And so I was diagnosing this on the phone, not unlike what I do on the radio here. And I said, okay, well, Henry, try and articulate the, you know, make sure the water valve is on, turn that on and off. It could be a, you know, hiccup there. And then the actual thermostat dial, turn that back and forth because they can get dusty sometimes. And maybe just that action of doing that. Well, you know, I tried all this other stuff. Like, he completely poo-pooed me when I gave him this advice. And I'm like, okay, well, if not, you know, we can call somebody. And, you know, with COVID, he's older. You know, you're not necessarily want somebody coming over. And I'm like, I could get there anyway. I go, try this. I'll call you back and, you know, in a couple of hours and we'll see if it works. Okay. I'm still driving. 15 minutes later, the phone rings. It's him. I did what you told me. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, it didn't work. And he goes, and it worked. And so I paused and I said, oh, that's great. I go, now, do you want me to mail the bill or do you want me to drop it off? And he goes, I'll see how it works over the weekend. So he still didn't believe me 100%.
Nope. Right. Not going to give it all to you.
Not going
to
give it all away. So anyway, humidifier working, problem averted. He's got the direct, direct line, right? That call always gets picked up. He's awesome. All right. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls right after this.
Thanks for what you do and how you do it, because you do it with so much joy.
Oh.
So thank you.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say. My wife wouldn't agree with you, but that's fine. That's good. It's just, Natalie, it's just you and I now. Don't say anything.
Yes. Okay. All right.
All right. How may I help you this morning?
Yes. We live in our favorite old farmhouse out here on the farm. And we have enjoyed over the years updating certain aspects. And that means that we've done things in parts, you know, throughout the house.
Right.
We have beautiful original maple wood floors. And there was a time about 20 years ago, we did some refinishing and we used the product Fabulon. And then we did another refinishing of other floors that where we ended up using oil-based polyurethane.
Okay.
So we have this wonderful North American brown dog whom we love very much. And of course, his little toes have created scratches over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And since we still have him, we're not ready to do a full refinish of all the floors, but we definitely need to do some patching and fixing. And the worst of what we want to kind of update or improve upon is the Fabulon side, which that product was not, paint thinner based. It was like a shellac based product.
Yeah. I haven't thought about that product in a long time. I remember that product.
Yeah, we had a paint store and that was like the thing to use, and so that's what we used on the floors. And so that side, that room, it's almost like the finish is wearing away. It's not chipping where we see little flakes, but it's definitely exposing the wood underneath.
So the wood is natural, and then you just put the finish over the top.
Yes, there's no stain.
Okay.
Yes.
And the room, this particular room that you want to do, is it what type of room is it? How big is it?
It's 12 by 16 or
okay.
so.
Okay. All right. So it's not a giant, it's like a, you know, farmhouse room. Okay.
No, yeah.
You know, what I would do if it were me, is I would screen the floor and then recoat the floor with a waterborne finish, which is way more forgiving for your big brown dog. and because the acrylic resins in the waterborne finishes are far more durable and non-yellowing than oil-based or even that Fabulon product. Seeing those scratches. And so you have a couple ways to do this. Is this something you want to do yourself?
Yeah, we're capable. When we do the whole refinish, we'll have it done professionally.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So this is what I would do. I would rent a floor buffer with you're going to need it. So when you rent a floor buffer like they use at the grocery stores at night, you buy the pads that go underneath it, right? So they're like, all right, lady, we'll rent you this thing for $40, and how many pads do you want? You're probably going to want to buy a white pad, which I think you'll do the whole thing on a white pad, but you're probably going to want to buy a green pad too. When it comes to the pads, they're Scotch-Brite pads, basically. They may not be made by 3M, but the darker the color, the more aggressive the pad, and you ultimately want to finish with the white. So you would probably go over this entire surface with the room empty with the green pad to kind of take up not the whole finish, but most of it. But what we're looking for is a consistent look on the floor. Okay. And you're going to do that. And then you're going to go at it with the white one. And you're going to go like, wow, that looks pretty good. All natural. That's awesome. I want you to buy a 12 by probably a gallon, maybe two, of a waterborne finish in satin called Bonacemi floor finish.
Okay.
Bonacemi is a company out of Sweden that makes really good waterborne finishes. I believe the brand is called Traffic. And you're going to apply that with a synthetic sheepskin mop, and you're going to work your way out. Now, keep that buffer with you, because when you come, when you put that first layer, it's going to raise the grain a little bit, and it's going to be a little bumpy when it dries in about 2 hours. You'll screen the floor again to get it nice and smooth, vacuum it all up. You'll put another coat of finish on there. And you could probably get away with just two if your eventual goal is you're going to resand everything on the first floor. But if you're if that's a few years away, then I want two more. You know, I want a total of three coats. The set coat, which is the first one, screen it, put the second coat on, screen that, final coat, you're done.
Okay, and the screening in between is with the white.
Yeah,
only.
If they have a finer one than that, the pad, then get that.
Okay.
But I bet white is going to be what you have.
Okay.
All right. Now here's something to keep in mind. If the white pad is the finest that they sell, there's two sides to the pad, right? Because it goes onto the buffer. So when you're doing the rough work with the flooring before you do any of the finish, stay on the same side of the pad to save you some money. When you go to screen, now that you put the nice finish on, flip the pad.
Okay.
So you get the
two-sided.
Yeah, because they're two-sided, and that way you have a nice clean pad for the screening portion, and then send me a picture. It sounds beautiful.
Okay. I was mostly concerned just because of that Fabulon thing and knowing that it had a different solvent base.
Yeah. You're going to screen that dry, no water or anything, just dry with the pad.
Yep. Yep.
And wear a mask.
Okay.
We're used
Got
to
it.
That.
Thank you first.
Thanks, Nat. Appreciate you calling. I used to work with a woman named Natalie, and I used to call her Nat. That brings back good memories. She was
Nat.
Nice. She lives in Detroit now. Hi, Nat, if you're listening on the web. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
I'm fine. I'm calling because I rent an apartment, and I have a bathroom tub that has worn away, went from white to black because it's PVC, and I'm looking to refinish it and make it look good so I'm not liable for it. And I'm looking to do that for $200 or under, less than that. Could you recommend a product and anything that I'm overlooking to do something like this myself?
Okay, so it's an acrylic bathtub?
Yes.
And it's, when you say that the finish, is it just that the finish is, it needs to be cleaned? Or you want to try?
No, it's wearing through.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And it's just the tub that you want to do?
Yes.
All right. How about I tell you how to do it for even less than $200?
That would be great.
Okay. Do you, Anthony, do you own a cordless drill or can you borrow one?
Yes. I'm a union cabinet maker. I have all that.
Oh, you got all that. Well, baby. Then I want you to buy a... do you have a drill brush that you can put on the end of your cordless drill?
Yes.
All right. I want you to buy a cleaner called Kaboom. K-A-B-O-O-M.
Okay.
Spray down the tub. Let it sit there for 10 minutes. And then use the drill brush to scrub that thing as clean as possible.
Okay.
All right. Then we're going to rinse it. We're going to let it dry. You're going to buy a quart of Rust-Oleum tub and tile paint.
Okay.
It's going to cost you $20. And that one quart, you know, where you've got the shoe of the drain, you know, the chrome or brass, whatever it might be, take the overflow off of the tub, use some painter's tape to tape around the shoe of the drain, you know, carefully, and then with a foam roller, you're gonna mix this, pour it into a little, you know, one of the small little paint trays that you can put a 4-inch roller in.
Yes.
And with a combination of a foam roller and actually not a foam roller, let's do a weaved roller, but a tight weave, and then a brush. So you'll work in the corners, and then you're going to finish it all off with the roller to get a nice smooth finish. But it'll have a little bit of a stimple on it so that when you're in there showering, you're not falling on your rear end.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
And then let that dry for, you know, at least 24 hours before you use the tub again. And honestly, if you do a good job with this and you really get it and nice and even, it will look brand new and it'll last like that for 5 years.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you so much. And you have a great day.
You too, bud. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. This is Patty who's calling in from Naperville. Hey, Patty, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
I have a gutter that is leaking at the seams, and it's right above the porch. So I know, you know, as soon as it gets a little bit warmer, I'm going to have, you know, whatever snow is up, still up on the roof.
Right.
Well, how do I fix that? And what temperature do I start fixing that at?
Well, I need you to go up and over inside.
Correct. So, and I can do that.
You can do that. Okay. We need it dry or as dry as possible, and we need it to have no ice whatsoever. Okay?
Okay.
Now, we really do need to be above freezing to apply. I want you to buy a squeeze tube of a product called Lexel. L-E-X-E-L.
Okay.
It sticks to damp surfaces. And so, you know, you want to go up there. Oh, there's the seam. Clean it off as best you can. Get it as dry as best you can. I'm just trying to get you fixed for the winter because you're going to readdress this in the spring. And you're going to goop,
okay.
You're going to goop this stuff on. Wear some, this stuff is super sticky. So wear some plastic or rubber gloves, you know, like throwaway rubber gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And really work it into the seams up with your finger and push it in there and allow it to dry as long as we're over, you know, 32 degrees during the day. And if in a perfect world, if a little sun hits it, that would be really nice. That should solve your problem for the winter. And then in the spring, when it warms up, you're going to clean all that out, remove all that stuff, and really patch it again. You could use the same material, but then it'll be a more robust repair than what we're doing right now.
That's great. Thank you so much. Because I know when we had that little bit of a thought, you know.
Yeah, then it all comes down like crazy. Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. We will take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. 877-213-4-LOU. Let's take a quick phone call before we have to take another break. This is Peter calling in from Brooklyn. Hey, Peter, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. How are you, Lou?
I'm good. How may I help you, sir?
I have the vinyl window, two of them, and they weren't the expensive Andersons, so I got a sale on them. But what happens now is that when I raise the window, it falls down again.
Yeah.
So the old windows, I remember they used to be weights and stuff. But what do you do? My friend said you just have to buy a new window.
How old are these windows, Peter?
They're only about a year or so old.
Okay.
Well, no, about 2 years old.
Okay. Now, do you know, do these windows tilt in for cleaning?
Yes.
Okay. So it may be that what happened, there's something in the window called a balancer. And what you may see when you look inside the window, you probably can't see it now that the window is closed and it's really cold outside, so you don't want to do this. So when it warms up a little bit, open up the window a little bit, you know, a couple inches, the clips on the top, tilt it in, and on the side, the track, the groove inside, you may see a little piece of plastic with a hole on one side, and maybe on the other side you don't. You're going to take that window as you're holding it at 90 degrees, right? Because it pivots at the bottom, and now you're holding it like you're holding a tray of drinks. And if you lift one side of the window up, you'll be able to pull the thing out of the opening. And you'll see that at the bottom of that window, there's two little tabs sticking out, little metal tabs. On the inside of the track of the window, those little plastic things that I told you that'll have a hole in it, take one of those tabs and put it in the hole on one side, then draw the window down and line up the other tab on the other hole on the other side and draw that down. So now it's horizontal. Fold the window back in and clip it in, and I bet it'll go up and down and hold itself in place.
Oh, okay. sounds. They're on both sides.
Both sides.
And when you tilt the window, when you tilt the window in, you, I'll be able to peek in there after I raise it a couple inches.
Correct.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna do nothing today.
Not today. It's too cold. It's freezing. But give it a couple of days and give that a try, and it should work out just great. Thanks so much for calling. We are broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. I got yelled at by Bob Surratt about saying that promo. I will give you more information after this report of WGN Radio News.
Coming up this hour on House Smarts Radio, Lou continues to take your calls till 10 a.m. This hour, he's also got his new Tulu 2 segment just after 7:30, where he is going to feature an accessory you can add to your pots and pans that are heavy and cumbersome to lift. Maybe you've got wrist issues, carpal tunnel, arthritis. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Dykstra Home Services. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Don and Jordan are hanging around, which I wanted to talk to both of you and Lindsay as well. Have any of you had oat milk?
Oat milk, you mean?
What did I say? Oat.
I was intrigued about oat milk.
Yeah.
I thought it was a new
oat milk. I'm having it right now.
Yeah, naughty. You're having it in your coffee. Anyone?
Coffee, yes.
Yeah, but how about like a glass of it?
I have never not had oat milk, no.
It's pretty good, actually. I don't mind it.
I had a glass of it last night. And I have to tell you, it was delicious.
Really?
I mean, I don't know what I'm not a. We have almond milk and we have oat milk in our home because we have all these vegans and vegetarians and dairy lactose intolerant people.
Yeah, I'm a big almond milk guy. I like that.
You are. Mm-hmm. You are.
Yeah.
And are you lactose intolerant?
Slightly, yeah. I don't know when it started, but I noticed a few years ago whenever I have ice cream or like whole milk or something, I get some stomach pains. So I stick to almond.
Right. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I like oat milk. I actually, I am not lactose intolerant, but we have oat milk in the house, and I think it's usually a good substitute if you don't want the dairy in the morning. So yeah. I'm pro oat milk.
Yeah.
And oat milk.
I wanna read. You know, the thing that is worries me about all that kind of stuff is how much it's processed. Like, what's all in it? You know what I mean? Like, oat sounds great, right? Like, oh, it's oat milk, and then there's hydrogenated blah 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 blah. You know what I mean? I need
right.
to
what about
look
the at oat that. Milk oat milk creamer that I put in with that tastes like oatmeal cookie. Do you think that's processed?
I'm going to say yeah.
Because I like to think it's healthy. It's oat.
Yeah, it's oat. Yes. Right. That's the thing, right, with all of that stuff is that you, I think I mentioned to you that in January, you know, I'm still doing the Seattle Sutton healthy eating thing, which is awesome. And in January, I started doing the vegetarian menu, which I have to be honest with you, I think is almost better than the regular.
Wow.
Because it's super inventive. And I love vegetables. And every now and then they'll have some thing that's like a turkey something, and it's delicious. But then I think, I wonder. Like in general, if you're going to be a vegetarian, you mean? And we've talked about this, Lindsay. You've been a vegetarian for a very long time, and you know I always joke with you. Oh man, you know you should have tried that brisket. And like a lot of the meat products that they, you know, the vegan, not vegan, but. You know, like, oh, we're going to make it taste like chicken or taste like bacon. And then you read the artificial thing and you're like, wow, that's a lot of stuff in there. How about I just stick to the vegetables?
Indeed.
Right?
Less chemicals.
The oat milk, though, like the one we buy has no sugar. So you can, if you take a few extra seconds when you're in the grocery store and you just kind of look at what's in there, you can get.
But see, I don't have a problem with sugar.
Yeah.
That's natural. I'm worried about the thing that tastes like sugar.
Yeah.
Like forever. But years ago, my wife and I, my wife and I both have coffee in the morning. She would have coffee, cream, and Sweet 'n Low. Who uses Sweet 'n Low?
I used to use it, too.
Okay. And so one day I was reading some story. This is years ago, like 10 years ago. I'm reading some story about like the chemicals in Sweet 'n Low, and I'm going, you know, why do you do the Sweet 'n Low? I go, she just uses a little bit of sugar now. Which I think, you know, what's a teaspoon of sugar? 10 calories, right? Something crazy
maybe.
Like that.
Right.
Right, maybe. I go, how about you just use the sugar and not use the chemicals in your body? It's just better for you.
Right.
Like, we got to get away from all that kind of stuff. More natural.
Right on. And it's tasty. It is really tasty stuff.
Sugar. Yes.
Can I just tell you one of my favorite things, though, is when you, you know, I know that you thought about this. You knew you were going to bring up the oat milk.
I wrote
today.
It down.
I know.
Because last night as I was drinking the oat milk, I was like, I need to talk about oat milk.
Right, but then your first delivery, and this happens all the time. You'll who's had oat milk?
Oak. Delicious oat.
Do you remember when we were? I don't know if you guys were working on the show
just
then.
Just tap that tree, baby. It's coming right out.
But when my favorite mix-up was when you were going to talk about the dance the kids were doing these days, twerking. But you had this whole story, but you called it twerking.
I have a rejoin somewhere that says that. Yes, I do.
That's
I do.
Amazing. Those twerkers. A lot of mechanics do the twerking.
Okay, and one other quick sports thing I need for from Jordan. Jordan, I was vacillating back and forth last night between the Bulls game and the Hawks game. First of all, Giannis, I can never say his last name.
Antetokounmpo.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's incredible.
The kid is just, he's like a machine, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anyway, he's unstoppable.
Unstoppable. And it seems like he's a delightful young man, too. So that's all good. But I was watching the Hawks game. You know when they go to do a face-off, like in front of the goalie, you know, over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys roll in, and then immediately the ref goes, get out, and he throws the guy out. The guy, what is he, why is he doing that?
You know, I don't remember the exact ruling on that, but I know that there's sometimes...
Is it just because they came in too fast or something? Like, it's almost like you're punishing your dog. No, don't go pee over here. Go over there.
I think it's like if they move their stick close to where the puck is going to be dropped too quickly, you know, that they have to keep their stick back for
right?
a fair face-off. But I
because what's yeah. funny is they roll in, and the ref's there, and the guy rolls in, and then he immediately puts his hand up,
yeah,
and the
like,
guy just rolls out. He doesn't even argue. He's like, all right, I'm out. You know, whatever.
It's like separating kids fighting.
Right. It's exactly what it sounds like to me, or looks like to me. And I don't know enough about it. To understand. So
well it's last night that was the least of their problems because
it was
they were
yeah.
bad from the get go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, too bad.
Yeah.
Well
another chance today though.
Yes, exactly.
Against
right.
the same team.
Same team. On what time's the game? On what time's Joe Brand's
7:30 pregame.
Perfect. We'll be listening. All right. Back to you guys in a little bit. 877-213-4LOU 877-213-4568. This is Mike calling in from Coal City. Hey, Mike, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello. Hi, Luke.
How you doing?
All right. Good. I have a 8-foot area that I can't reach. It's got drywall, and on one side of the 8-foot area, it's a storage room. On the other side, it's an office, and it has drop-in ceiling tiles. Now, above the 8-foot area, I need to put insulation because I have water lines that passes through the 8-foot area, and I had one time where they froze, they didn't break, so I learned to trickle the water, and so I need a company to come in and spray some insulation up there.
Now, when you said this 8-foot area, this is a ceiling area that you're talking about?
It's in the basement, and it's above the drywall.
Oh, it's in the basement.
You know,
it's
8-foot
wide. I see. Okay. So, but it's drywall, and so somebody needs to come in and poke holes and insulate each individual channel?
No. No, they need to go from side to side. It's 8-foot wide. There's mm-hmm. I have drop ceilings on either side
okay.
of the 8-foot area.
Okay.
And, you know, just remove the tile, and there's a 1-foot space.
Oh, I see.
That you can...
I see.
And I need a company to come and spray some insulation in there. Oh, it's along the outside wall.
I see, okay.
That's what the...
Okay.
And you have so a pen?
Do you have
the pipes afraid?
Do you have a pen or a pencil handy? Because I don't. You're in Coal City, Mike.
Yes.
Right off I-57.
I-55.
Oh, I-55. Right. So we got to find you somebody down there, and I think the best source I can give you is the NARI website. So I want you to go to ZIPARI.org. Type in the zip code. Look for an insulation contractor down by you that can come in and put in a spray insulation for you on that outside space. It probably, in my opinion, if you can find somebody that does loose fill, that would be the best choice because you don't want to overfill it and bow the wall. Okay?
Okay.
So loose fill insulation is what we're looking for. And if you go to the NARI website, you should be able to find somebody to come out there and do the work for you. Appreciate the phone call. 877-213-4LOU is the phone number. You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines now. And, oh, Elaine is in Chicago. Elaine, how about we send you out a House Smarts Radio hat from our friends
at
Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating your kitchen or bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. By the way, the House Smarts Radio hat is black, so it's very slimming. How may I help you this morning?
I have a multitude of paint cans, and they're, you know, some of them are almost full, and you know, gallon cans. And how can I get rid of them? I mean, I understand there used to be an organization that would take these mm-hmm. and use them, you know, in house renovations.
What part of Chicago do you live in, Elaine?
I live in the Portage Park area.
Okay. Not to be overly promotional, but you may know that my wife and I own a couple of hardware stores. And we happen to own an Ace Hardware in Edgebrook. And this is true of many hardware stores. But there is a company, you can take the paint cans to the store, you get charged to recycle them, because we have a service that will take the paint that then charges us, and they will actually make recycled paint out of it. Now,
okay.
What you can do, you get charged per gallon that you bring in, or per container. If you have a couple of cans that are, you know, half empty, you can pour those into the, make one full container out of there, and then the empty can, if you allow that to dry, that you can throw in the garbage, and that's okay. But the full latex cans, and this is for latex paint only, you mm-hmm. can take to the hardware stores that offer this service. You could call around. I happen to know for a fact the one in Edgebrook does this. And I believe
it's not too terribly far away.
No, not from Portage Park. And I believe, boy, I'm going to say it's $4 a container. I think that sounds about right.
Ooh.
It's around that. And it may be more. $3.50 a gallon. So a gallon container. But if you pour into the gallons, and you know, so if you have, in other words, if you had 3 gallons that had a quarter of a can of paint in there, you'd get charged $3.50 for each one of those. If you took all that paint and just put it into one of the containers, so now it's 3/4 full, for instance, let the other cans dry, throw those in the garbage, perfectly legal and acceptable, and then bring the liquid paint to us or someone else for the $3.50 a gallon.
Okay. That's $3.50 a gallon.
Correct.
Okay.
I want to be clear about this. It's the container. So, in other words, if the gallon is, it's only a half a gallon in there, it's the $3.50 for the container. That's why I want you to fill it up.
Okay. All right. Okay. I understand that. And where is the closest one that will take this?
Well, I mean, I know that our store does, which isn't too far from, but if there's another hardware store closer to you.
I tried one of them, and they didn't know where, you know, anything about what to do with them.
Got it. Well, then the closest one is Edgebrook Ace Hardware. Full disclosure, we own the store, and we would take it for you if you brought it in.
Okay. All right. And I think I know where that one is.
Devon and Central. Where Devon right. and Central and Caldwell all meet by the train tracks.
Yeah. Pass it very often.
Wonderful. Stop in. We love to see you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lou. I appreciate the information.
You got to have a great day. Stay warm this morning for sure. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. We need to break for news. When we come back, we have a new Toulouse 2 that has something to do with your pans and making it easier to move them around. It's like an assist for your heavy pans that you're doing cooking. And it's from a guy that we've featured before, who we, Lindsay and I, ran into years ago at the International Home and Houseware Show here in Chicago. And I think you'll find it to be pretty interesting stuff. But right now, it's time for our bottom of the hour report of WGN Radio News. But let's talk about cooking. Have you, Lindsay, have you done, you made Misericordia knockoff brownies last night with the girls?
We did. That was the request of Sadie, my oldest. And I have to say, we nailed it.
Yeah, the heart-shaped with the powdered sugar, and you said they were delicious as well.
Very good.
So that's good. I've been doing a lot of cooking. I almost, as a rule, at the end of the show on Saturday, I make minestrone soup. Like that's,
is it always, it's always minestrone?
It's always vegetable, because I'm a vegetarian now for the month of January.
Oh, I know.
And Carmen's a vegetarian, and her boyfriend's a vegetarian, and so I just go with it. And plus, it's just delicious, and it's... it's cathartic for me to do that. I just love to cook and chop the vegetables and season the pan and everything like that. But and I use we have a Dutch oven that was given to us on our wedding as a wedding gift almost 32 years ago. Like a Le Creuset white, you know, it's all super seasoned. It's like the best, right? Wedding gifts, anybody? Get them that. Especially, they have it forever. It's awesome. Where was I going with this? Oh, but the pans are super heavy. And now what I've done, I've been doing a lot of, most of my cooking now I do on cast iron pans. And those are, I think, super versatile. Mike Jakubowski only cooks on cast iron pans. And while I am a big, strong guy, I probably have a little arthritis as I've aged a little bit. And picking up those big pans is a problem. This guy that we met years ago came out with this Noodaloo 2 that is, well, I'll let Lindsay describe it.
If you're a cooker in the kitchen, I'm sure you'd agree some of your pots and pans can be cumbersome and strenuous to lift at times, especially if you have issues with your wrist.
Oh.
Maybe the pan is big and clunky or super heavy like cast iron. This week's new Toulouse 2 is an innovative cookware accessory that was invented by a guy named Derek Monk after seeing his grandmother struggle with her cast iron pan. Pan Buddy is an extra handle that can be added easily to an existing handle on your pots and pans, giving the user more leverage and control. Pan Buddy comes in two pieces, a vertical handle and a wrist support. The best way I can describe it is like if you were going to add a car's stick shift to your pot or pan handle. So instead of holding the handle at a horizontal angle, after you slide on and tighten the Pan Buddy, the handle will actually be vertical and your wrist will be used for leverage. Pan Buddy fits most pan handles and is easy to switch from pan to pan. It's made right here in the USA and typically rings in at $19.99, but right now it's on sale for $16.99. With over 10 million people in the U.S. suffering from carpal tunnel and over 50 million with arthritis, Pan Buddy may just become your best buddy. Find out more at HouseSmartsRadio.com.
I like the stick shift analogy, but you know what it does kind of remind me of is if you've ever seen people that use crutches where it has that bracket that goes around your wrist and then the handle that have that, you know, that grip the wrist like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that have problems with mobility may use.
Mm-hmm.
It screws on the end of that pan and you get the full grip. It really is kind of a smart thing. If you have problems with really gripping, this thing takes the weight on your... It also, you know, I love to fish. They make a fishing net. Your husband probably knows this because he loves to fish. They make a fishing net that has a similar attachment to it. Because if you were fishing by yourself, holding a big net, if you haul them in, would be a difficult thing. Well, this thing then goes on your wrist and has a handle, like a stick shift, as you mentioned. And it gives you, your arm is now doing part of the lifting, not just your wrist and your fingers and your hands. I like it. Is it at housemartsradio.com? Can they see it at housemartsradio?
You know what? I am going to put it up today on your social media pages. So okay. On Facebook, on Instagram, it'll all be right there.
How much is it?
$16.99.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines here and talk with Curtis, who is in Chicago. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you, sir?
Yes, I have a clogged drain, and I don't know how to unclog it. It's just clogged.
Is it a sink? Is it a tub? Where's the clog?
It's a sink.
Okay, a vanity sink or a kitchen sink?
Well, you know, I stay in a hotel, and it's in my room, and it's like a little cabinet, you know.
Vanity sink. Okay.
Right, right.
Got it.
Right.
You don't happen to have a, and is it a slow draining sink, or is it completely clogged and the water's standing?
Yeah, it's completely clogged. The water's standing. It doesn't go anywhere.
Okay. And I would imagine if you're staying in a hotel, you don't happen to have a plunger with you, do you?
Well, I tried plunging it, but it does no good. And I went to a True Value, and I explained it to the gentleman there, and they gave me something like acid, and I pulled that in there, but it didn't do anything.
Okay. Well, now I want you to be very careful in the fact that you poured that in there, and now that water is contaminated with that, with that drain cleaner. So that can be... that can be caustic on your hands, and so you have to be very careful. At this point, if you've tried plunging it and you've tried a drain cleaner, you said you're staying in a hotel, so do they have any kind of maintenance technicians or anybody that can come to the room and take a look?
Yeah, well, you know, he came and he gave me a plunger and told me to try plunging it. But like I say, it didn't do any good.
Right.
Then I went to True Value,
right.
And I told them, and they gave me some stuff of like acid. I pulled that in there, and the water still just remains there.
So now here's the thing, Curtis. At this point, what you know, with those two things not being successful, what has to happen is a bucket needs to in that cabinet. You got to put a bucket big enough to go underneath the P-trap, you know, where the pipe kind of makes that bend like a J underneath the sink?
Yes,
And then that P-trap, you need to unscrew and lower it into the bucket. Now, the problem is, and this is where you may need some help with this, because you've introduced that drain cleaner into that water. And so you've got to be very careful with your hands and spilling it on the floor at the bottom of the cabinet because it can cause damage. So you may want to put like a towel or two down there first. And with that bucket, wearing gloves, take that, unscrew that P-trap to lower all that. The clog is either in that J-bend or the clog could be in the wall, which would require, you know, a maintenance person or a plumber to come and figure all that out. I mean, I think at this point, since I'm assuming you're renting the hotel room, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now that you've tried all that, they probably need to come in and do the work because you don't want to make it worse, right? And then cause any damage that then they could say you're responsible for.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, it's been almost like 2 or 3 weeks since I put the acid cleaner in there.
Yeah, it's still in there. You got to get those people back in.
Oh, okay.
Get them back in there, and then they'll get it fixed for you once and for all. You don't want that stagnant. You don't want that stagnant water in that bathroom to be part of that hotel room whatsoever. It's just not healthy, and it's not safe for you.
Yeah, right. And it's been like that for a long time. And like I say, I plunged it and I put the acid stuff in there. Mm-hmm. But the water still, just when I run it in there, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, we need professional help. And I'd get them in there to come and fix it for you, okay? Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. Greg, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Sweet Lou. I've got two questions. One, if We've got an American standard corner jacuzzi whirlpool unit. Wife was taking a bath in there. She had a sore neck, and the black gunk and grime that comes out of there, definitely not pleasant.
Yeah.
Just wanted to see if you had a good idea in regards to getting rid of that stuff.
The very first thing is that you have to use it more. So that is key number one, right? How often do you or your bride use the tub?
Rarely.
Yeah. So this is the problem. And jacuzzi in particular, is it a jacuzzi brand? Maybe.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to say it is because
hot tub.
Yeah, because jacuzzi had some issue with the way they piped this thing, and there's like a, within the piping, there's like a little saddle, and it sits inside there, and that's where the water sits for a while, and it's a mildew and mold thing. So this is what I have done in the past. Fill it up with warm water above the line where you need to be, above the intake and whatever. And then we need to pour a cleaner inside there that's going to kind of take apart and get rid of the mold and mildew and flush it through. It's not an inexpensive proposition, but you're going to buy a gallon of Concrobium Mold Control, which I think is going to cost you like $40.
Okay.
You're going to pour the gallon into the tub, and you're going to turn it on. Now, it's going to foam up a little bit, so I don't want you to turn it on and walk away, because if you turn it on and walk away and you come back an hour later, it's going to be like a scene from The Parent Trap. They just foam everywhere in the bath. I think that was the movie. And so what I have learned is go full blast with the jets going and then turn it all the way down. Usually you can adjust the thing and literally let that pump run for an hour.
Wow.
Then turn it off.
Okay.
And then turn it off. Let it sit there with the lines full of water for another hour. Drain it. Fill it back up with water. Flush it out again. You're going to see bits and pieces then when you do that as well. And then tell your wife, honey, I love you. Go take another jacuzzi tub. And start using it like once a week. That's the problem is we just don't use them enough.
Okay, great. Thank you. And the other question I have, we have a 3-car garage considering putting a heater in the garage. Should I do electric or natural gas? And it's already plumbed in. We've got a pipe up in the ceiling with an outlet. But just want to see.
How much do we want to heat it? Do we just want to take the chill out, or do you want to be in there in your Bermuda shorts and your Jimmy Buffett T-shirt?
Yeah, on occasion, Bermuda shorts and Jimmy Buffett T-shirt, but
not like a day like today.
Maybe.
If it were me, I would do electric just because I think it's a safer option. But you need it to be a 240 electric, not just a regular plug. Because you'll never heat a 3-car garage with a 110 garage heater. So do you know if that plug is 240?
I do not know that, no.
You're probably going to, for a 3-car garage to, get it up to, 60 degrees maybe on a day like today, you're going to need something that's probably 7 to 500 watts or so of electric with a blower. Okay. Now, you could do gas. Did you say that area where you got the plug, you also have gas?
Yeah, there's a line up there behind the drywall when we built the house.
Well, I mean, then you could put a gas heater that you hang. Just make sure we have a carbon monoxide detector in there. And there, you'd probably, with a 3-car garage, you'd probably need something like a 30,000 BTU unit that could kick on. I mean, it'll be more efficient, and it'll be up high. And that regular plug that you have there already will run the fan for sure. But you just got to make sure you size it correctly. Remember, is your garage, does it have drywall? Is it insulated?
Yeah, it's all drywall. It was built about 17 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then look at, I'm trying to think of, I believe two manufacturers that will make the ones for the ceiling out of gas. Dayton, for sure, D-A-Y-T-O-N, and then another company called M-Glow, E-M-G-L-O. And you're probably looking for something that's at least 30,000 BTUs.
Okay. Great. Good stuff. It's probably going to cost us more up front if we go gas, but more efficient in the long run, right?
No, the gas will probably, the thing is, the electric will cost you more because you probably don't have, because you'll have to run a bigger line. If the gas is there, I mean, that heater's probably going to cost you, that hanging heater, $500, $600, and then the install.
And then that'll consider they're going to do a vent line up through the ceiling, right?
It's ventless.
Or through the roof.
It's ventless. They make them ventless. That's what you want. You want ventless with a carbon monoxide detector.
Okay. Very good. Hey, thanks a lot, Lou.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. Thanks so much. We did some filming once in your parents' garage. They have a heater in that garage. In their house.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you ever notice that?
M-Glow?
M-Glow.
Yes, I did, because I would always get yelled at it for leaving the garage door open. We're not heating the outside.
Why doesn't that surprise me? 877-213-4-LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. And you know, John Williams has been doing Squirrel Talk all week long. It's sponsored by the Walnut Association now. The National Walnut Association. No, it's not.
How do you get a squirrel to like you?
Wait. Go ahead.
Act like a nut.
All right, there we go. Welcome back. She's here all weekend.
That was so fun.
How about the couple of weeks that we have had with all the sadness about all these famous people leaving?
Man.
First, Bob Saget, then Meatloaf and Louis Anderson on the same day.
Right, as we still are recovering.
Same day?
Yesterday.
Same day. Was it the same day, or was it, within 24 hours.
Right, yes. And then we're still recovering from Betty White.
And Betty White. Oh, my gosh. You know, there's so much stuff on Betty White. There's something on the internet, you have to find it. It's Rue McClanahan telling Betty White like a dirty joke in between scenes of the Golden Girls, and they must be mic'd up, and it's kind of a blurry video, and they're just sitting on this couch, you know, waiting during the Golden Girls, and Rue McClanahan is telling her a joke. Oh, she's like, I heard this one the other night. It's actually really funny. It's not dirty, but it's just really funny. I wonder if I can. So Rue McClanahan is sitting next to Betty White. She goes, I was at a party. I heard this one the other day. How did it go? So this guy is stranded on an island, and he's stranded on this island with a dog and a pig, and he's there for months and months, and, you know, he's there, and he's lonely, and one night he's looking, and he's like, the pig looks pretty good, and he goes over, and he starts, like, caressing the pig, and then the dog comes over and bites him, like, argh, like, you know, get away from that pig. What are you doing? And, you know, this goes on for a few weeks where, you know, every time he tries to, you know, cuddle up next to the pig, the dog yanks him away. And she goes, and then a woman appears, like she got stranded. Like, this is a woman. She's unbelievable, gorgeous. And she comes walking out of the water, and the guy sees her, and he can't believe his eyes. And he goes up to her, and she says, what happened? How can we get out of here? How can I help you? And he goes, oh my gosh, thank God you're here. Can you do me a favor and hold that dog?
Wow. I like that. That's
right?
A good one.
But imagine Rue McClanahan telling Betty White.
Yes.
And Betty White's
even better.
Rolling. It's just hilarious.
Yeah. Some of those Golden Girls outtakes and scenes are really classic.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So sad. I mean, I remember, I know that I bought that Bat Out of Hell album by Meatloaf, and I played it, and that is of my era. And he was a really talented guy. I mean, the guy really had, so sad, really sad. And if you have a chance, go to YouTube and look up the very first appearance by Louis Anderson on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. I vividly remember watching, staying up for Johnny Carson. I want to say it's 1978, 1979. And Louis Anderson from Minnesota comes out. And, you know, Louis Anderson, for those that may not know, was a kind of a bigger, you know, kind of a stocky gentleman. And he used his physical size as part of his comedy, you know, joking about that kind of stuff. And, you know, he's probably in his, well, let's see, he died at 69. So he's probably in his late 20s, maybe early 20s at this time. And he just kills it. The audience went nuts to the point when he gets done with his set and he leaves, they go to a break. They come back from a break. Johnny Carson thought he was so funny that he then invites him back out to take a curtain call.
Wow.
And walks over to shake his hand. And for those that think about, you know, we read all these stories about TikTok. Oh, they're a TikTok sensation, or they're making millions on YouTube, and, you know, these people that make these videos that become these huge stars. Johnny Carson was TikTok of that generation. If Johnny Carson said to you, especially to a comic, that, oh my gosh, you did such a great job, come out and let me, and he stood over and shook your hand, career made.
Yeah, he's a kingmaker.
He's a kingmaker. And it is definitely worth the watch. It's about a 5 or 6 minute set, and it is, you will laugh out loud. It's really, really funny.
Nice. I'll check that out.
God bless all those people that we lost too soon, for sure. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines now and talk to Michael, who's in Lombard. Hey, Michael, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, sir.
How can I help
you? Last Saturday, you mentioned a product to a lady with a stutter with a V to take off indelible markers off of, like, shower stalls.
I don't remember that. Well, a product that will do it starts with an S, and it's called Superzilla.
Ah.
And
F?
Super, like Superman, Zilla, like Godzilla. And it is okay. It is a lightweight oil slash cleaner that actually does a very nice job on permanent marker or things like that, that if you can't get anything else off, spray it on there, let it sit there for 5-10 minutes, and then...
Superzilla.
And is, did you say that it's on a shower stall?
Yeah.
Made out of what?
These plastic shower stalls.
Okay, so let it sit there for a little bit, and then use a green Scotch-Brite pad gently. Don't really bear down on it, but just enough with a little bit of texture, and it should wipe right off. But you need to spray it and let it sit there for about, you know, 5-10 minutes.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks for calling. And did you have another question?
No, sir.
All right, have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning, 877-213-4LOU. This is Dan, who's in Barrington Hills. Hey, Dan, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, good morning, Lou. I hope it's a simple problem. I have a table, dining room table that was finished. It has a shiny finish. I'm sure it was polyurethane. I foolishly spilt a little alcohol on it, got it up as quickly as possible, but then I had white rings, so I got that Howard's wash and refinish, and it completely took off the white rings, and now it's the same color as the rest of the table. The trouble is I have these little round spots where the alcohol removed the polyurethane finish or whatever they finished that dining room table with. Can I just sand it slightly with a 400 grit?
No. Hold on. So when you use the Howard's, did you only use it on the area where you had the ring?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to use the Howard's on the entire surface.
Okay.
So the whole idea behind the Howard's is it'll blend that finish in. And so did you buy the natural or did you buy it in a color?
A color, cherry, and it matched perfectly. You can't see the spots except, Lou, if you look at it and get the sheen.
Yeah.
And you see the little round spot where the shiny finish is gone.
What I want you to use, not steel wool, I want you to use a microfiber towel. Pour some of the Howard's in a container and then gently saturate the top, the microfiber towel, then wring it out and go with the grain over the entire surface, like you're almost like you're washing it, but I don't want you to really apply a lot of pressure, just nice light pressure, and then back that up with a clean cotton towel. And then let that dry and see how it looks. You may blend it all in like that and you're done. If not, then you're going to wipe down that surface with mineral spirits. That 400 grit that you talked about, you're going to lightly do that, and then you're going to put another coat of poly on top of it.
Okay. Mineral spirits with the 400 grain if the Howage doesn't work.
Correct.
Thank you very much, Lou.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. But and I have said this, and it comes up all the time. I'm like, you know, if I never heard another Grateful Dead song again, that would be fine. And I know that of my generation, you know, a lot of people, I had a lot of friends that used to follow these guys around, like the original Grateful Dead, the whole nine yards. Like guys graduated from college, or guys that graduated from Milliken, like, what are you doing? Oh man, I'm gonna chase the Dead around for 6 months. I'm like, all right, good luck with that. Right? Like, that's what you're doing. I'm going to go to work. Okay? 877-213. It's just not, I mean, it's just not my cup of tea. That's fine.
It's all right.
It's fine. Now, if you like it, then that's great. Godspeed. 877-213-4-LOU. Let's talk to Michael, who's in Lombard. Hey, Michael, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. Michael? Hello, Michael? No, you don't think it's Michael? Line one? Larry? How about Larry in Glenview? All right. I'm going to say neither one of those. How about, was that, wait. So see what I did there? You gave me a bunch of ones. Okay, let's go to Kevin in Bloomington. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a radiant floor heating question. We have a cabin out in Colorado, and it was built in 2004. We've had it 4 years. The radiant floor had been wonderful, worked great. About 4 months ago, we just had a routine service, you know, checking on it, and they said that the lines had water in it, and it would be better to have glycol put in it so that if the power went out, you know, it wouldn't freeze. So once they did that,
it caused all kinds of problem.
Yeah, the basement worked, floor worked great, but the main floor and the upper basement or upper bedroom all of a sudden didn't work very well. They've come a few times and tried to get air out of the lines, and the main floor then worked fine. But the upstairs still doesn't, and they replaced, I think it was a pump, and that didn't really do anything. Now they want to come and blow air through it. They think something might be lodged or something in it. So I just wanted your thoughts.
My thoughts would be to do exactly what they are advising you. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Did they mention your radiant heat, is it what kind of piping is it? Is it some type of polypropylene piping that is?
He didn't say. He mentioned he was going to maybe cut a hole somewhere to see what kind of piping it was.
Oh, he doesn't even know.
I don't know. If my wife's talked to him a lot. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I think that I have heard this before, where you've got a system that was set up for water. And then somebody comes in and says, you know, it really should be glycol because it won't freeze. And it makes perfect sense. But then there's something that goes wrong when we add a new mixture, a new liquid into the system. And there's a couple things that can happen. So I'm going to assume, because it's Colorado, you said it was built when?
2004.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that it's some type of polypropylene, you know, piping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a plastic pipe. It's a plastic pipe. And I'm also going to assume that when they drain the whole system down, they didn't get all the water out, or there's pockets in there that there's some reaction that happens with the glycol where it becomes like a, remember in Ghostbusters when when you got slimed by the ghoul, that goopy stuff?
Yeah.
It turns to that. And now the pump can't move it. So what I would do, this is, now let me ask you this. So this is a house you're not at all the time?
Right, correct.
You have internet service there?
Yes.
Do you have a Wi-Fi thermostat?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Clean out, flush the system, put water back in it, put an alert on your Wi-Fi thermostat that if for some reason the Wi-Fi thermostat says, hey, Larry, am I talking to Larry? I got all these people on here.
Kevin.
Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
That's okay.
Hey, Kevin, your house is below 50 degrees, and you should call somebody. Well, then we can call somebody. Okay. We don't need the glycol to protect us. We've got Wi-Fi to tell you this.
Okay.
Your problem is they pumped glycol into there, and it caused a problem. So they're good their good intentions, in my opinion, screwed it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what we kind of felt, but yeah. All right.
Where in Colorado?
All right. Breckenridge.
Oh, that is like just you just walk to go ski, don't you?
No, we're a couple miles out of town. We have kids out there that have dogs, and they wanted a little space, a little yard.
Awesome.
So we're a couple miles out of town.
That's awesome. What's the what's the county that's there that all the houses are in? There's
Summit.
Summit, yeah.
Summit County.
Yeah. We have friends of ours that just bought a house that they're literally steps away from Breckenridge, which is wild. Haven't been out there yet, but in case they're listening, I'm available, and they have radiant heat too, so I'm glad to go over there and lay on the floor.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
All right, good luck. Do me a favor. I'm super curious about this, so will you talk to them out there and get this thing fixed? And if it does get rectified, I would really like to hear how it got fixed.
Fixed. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, bud. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213. Have you ever skied in Colorado?
I'm not a skier, but I have been to Breckenridge.
Ever? Not ski.
I did when I was a child, and then I had a bad experience in eighth grade where it took me like 4 hours to get down a bunny slope, and it embarrassed me for life.
David skis. He doesn't?
No, not really. I mean, he's been, but we're just not skiers.
That's not your thing. I could totally see the two of you, this like beautiful couple on some ski hill all decked out in the garb.
Ski? I'll wear the outfit.
Right. Well, there's plenty of cute outfits. Boy, I would have thought for sure both of you were skiers.
You've known me for over a decade.
Right. And I also think you still played
basketball. You would know this by now.
That you played basketball.
I did play basketball.
You were on the team.
I embarrassed myself then, too.
Took you 4 hours to get off the court. All right. It's 8:31 in the morning. When we come back, backup power. Think about backup power for your home. That you don't need gas. You don't need oil. You just need the power of the sun. Intrigued? Well, you'll learn about it after this report of WGN Radio News. We're always wishing that we have a generator when something like that goes wrong. Certainly, there are whole house generators, which I think are awesome. But for many, you just don't want to make that huge investment, and maybe perhaps something portable makes more sense. Well, there's a new wrinkle in a positive way in that whole industry. How about solar generators? Joining me on the phone line right now is Buck Buchanan, who is the marketing director for a company called GenerArc. Buck, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Lou, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Okay, solar-powered generators. Can you explain what that is?
So while I think we all wish we could predict when we're going to lose power, you can't. And because of that, it's almost impossible to say, hey, oh, the power's out. We need something to power our lights. We need something to back up the refrigerator. That's where our product comes in. GenerArc products can all be recharged by solar, they can be charged by AC in the car, but it allows you to have a backup power solution in any emergency, in any power outage. You can use our product, you know, at a tailgate, in a workshop. Really a versatile product that can provide power whenever you need it, in homes, like you were mentioning, or even an apartment for, you know, people that don't have a whole backup system in place. So we really focus on the versatility of our product. We really focus giving you peace of mind when you need it most.
Now, explain, obviously, I can't show a picture of this because we're talking on the radio, but explain to me what it is that your unit is. It's like a unit that I would literally pick up and bring into the house and then plug things into?
So we have a unit. We have two units. We have one that's a little bit portable. We have a whole home unit as well, our home power too, where, you know, depending on where you need it, in the bedroom, in the kitchen, you know, out in the workshop, our portable units can be picked up. They're lightweight enough. And our home power 2 unit actually comes on wheels, so you can wheel it anywhere in the house. It's like having a little robot following you that gives you power whenever you need it.
Wow. Now, what about the capabilities of that power? In other words, I mean, I think that many of us, you know, are certainly familiar with gas-powered generators where I would, you know, have this outside, I'd have to fuel it up, and I'd run cords inside and perhaps plug in my refrigerator or some lighting or a sump pump. You know, here in the Midwest, we have sump pumps. We're always worried about basements flooding when the heavy rains come. What is it that your system can power?
Obviously, depending on usage and devices, we can power a refrigerator anywhere between 10 to 30 hours. You know, oxygen concentrators for 1 to 12 days, microwaves for 1 to 14 days, we can power it. And the beautiful thing about our device, because it is solar power, is it can be brought in indoors. There is no fumes, there's very little noise, and it's completely safe to run indoors. So it makes it a whole lot more simple to get set up and be able to provide power when you need it most.
And if we're talking about an extended power outage for a few days, then you can, I assume, either take the unit back outside or run cords, because it does come with like solar arrays, right, that you would set up in the backyard?
Yes, some of our products do actually include the solar. So you can buy our units that include our solar panels, both for our Home Power 1 and our Home Power 2 units. Depending on where you are, you can run the panels outside and still have the unit inside. During the day, you can charge the unit using the solar panels and bring the unit back in at night. There's a lot of flexibility with our product.
Wow.
I mean, everything from, you know, the emergency situations like power outages to camping to tailgating. I mean, if you were able to, you know, use direct sunlight, you could just continue to power the device nonstop, basically.
No fuel, no oil. I don't have to worry about the thing starting or not starting. It's essentially a battery pack, you know, sophisticated battery pack that gets charged and you can plug all these devices into.
You know, intelligent display and, you know, our ease of use, you can be set up and under and running.
Can you give me an idea of the cost of these devices?
Absolutely. Anywhere between, you know, $999 to, if you want a, you know, 3-unit system with our brand new Home Power 2 units, it could cost upwards of, you know, $7,000 or $8,000. It really depends. We have a solution and a package and a bundle right for just every homeowner, every renter, every situation. We try to make it easy on our website, and you can come to GeneralArc.com. You can view our product and see what's the right one for you.
So it's just so everybody hears this right, it's GeneralArc, GeneralArc.com, GeneralArc.com, where people can learn more information, correct?
You got it, Lou.
Well, okay, I want to do give you your props because, you know, I know as a marketing director, you know, the powers that be are always saying, hey, come on, what are you doing for me to get our name out there? And I was, you know, I follow certain things within Instagram and Facebook that have to do with the home, and I was fed a promotional ad about your product that you make, and I dove into it and I looked into it. That's how I found you. So you tell them you're working hard and getting that name out there, and now you've got a bunch of people listening, and hopefully you get lots of people coming to your website to learn more about your solar-powered generators.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Lou. I hope my social media budget goes up because of that recommendation. We're more than happy to support anybody.
Right, right.
Visit us, and we've got a whole support line.
That's good. We want your radio budget to go up, too. Buck Buchanan is the marketing director at GeneralArc. Learn more about their solar-powered generators at GeneralArc.com. Buck, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We will take a quick break and be back right after this. Buck Buchanan said, oh, you know, if you want a coupon code, we could do that too. I have nothing to do with this company. I find it very interesting that the name of the company is Generac. There's also Generac. Anyway, if you go to Generac.com, G-E-N-E-R-A-R-K.com, and they put a coupon code LOU100. Do I need the little star or just the 100? You put the little star next to the 100.
Just LOU100.
LOU100. You get $100
all
off?
All one word.
Is it 100? Do you get 100 bucks off? Or that's a big coupon code. Well, I don't know. Anyway, you get something off. LOU100. If you look, I want you to spend some time on their website. It's an interesting idea. And it might be something if you're thinking about a backup system that could work for you. 877.
100 bucks off.
100 bucks off?
100 bucks off.
Buck Buchanan, Senator from South Carolina, right? That's a good name.
Good name.
Come on, could you imagine? You're out to dinner with some people from the office, and you're like, oh, I want to introduce you to our new employee, Buck Buchanan. I mean, I hope he has a good handshake, because he better have a really good handshake. Buck Buchanan, Senator from South Carolina. I don't know why I'm South Carolina. You know who's from South Carolina? You know why? I know why. I watched the TV. I was watching the Bulls game. And there was a commercial for South Carolina. Do you know who's from South Carolina? The lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish. What's his name?
Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker. He's from South Carolina. And he was doing. He was in this sweet, like 1958 Cadillac convertible, driving around talking about South Carolina.
To be more specific, I think he's from or lives right now on Isle of Palms.
Where's that?
It's in Charleston, outside of Charleston.
Right, but he's from South Carolina.
Yeah, but
look at that.
That's
where Buck Buchanan is a senator.
You're right.
There you go.
His neighbor.
They're buddies. Take me home. Isn't that a song? Isn't that the song? Right.
What?
Isn't that the song from Hootie and the Blowfish? Take me home. Isn't that a
hold my hand?
Right? Isn't that it? That's Buck Buchanan, right? Yeah. That's not Buck Buchanan. That's
not Buck, but
although maybe Buck
twerking,
can say
twerking.
What were we talking about? Let's go to the phones. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. I'm asking you questions as you're taking a big bite of something. Anyway, this is Janet in Lyle. Hi, Janet. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. We're struggling with a problem. We've got a master bedroom, walk-in closet. The dust in there is phenomenal. I'm at a loss.
The dust?
Dust. We have, you know, we've got the shelves, and we're getting dust on the clothes. And this has been going on for a while, but there's got to be a way to make it stop. The rest of the house it's not bad. I'm wondering, I don't know if it's the air ducts. I think we closed the one in there, but dust.
Okay, so this master closet is big.
I could do
my Pilates class in there.
Not that big. It's probably about 14 by 14.
Okay. Janet, there are bedrooms that are smaller than 14 by 14. Lindsay and I could do couples Pilates in a 14 by 14 closet, for crying out loud. She did. Didn't you do yoga with a goat? She could do yoga with a goat get the goat over here. Eat all the dust. Okay. So, and I mean, it has its own ductwork in it. And so you closed that, but. So, in other words, are you seeing dust on the floor or on the shelves or everywhere?
It's on the it's on the shelves, and it's even on the hanging clothes. Because I wear a lot of black, so you can see the
slimming
dust on the hangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the floor of the closet?
It's carpet.
The small 14 by 14 closet.
It's carpet.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
No. You're funny. Thinking. And obviously, you go in this closet every day. So when you clean it, so now you go in there and you're like, oh, my God, this is so dusty. And I dust everything. How quick does the dust come back?
I mean, we can't dust everything, but it's, You know, we wash. I mean, what we wear, we wash.
Right, but this is this is what I want you to try as a test.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. The door to the closet. Do you, when you're not in the closet doing your goat yoga, does the door stay open or closed?
It stays open.
Okay. I want you to close the closet door. And when you close the closet door, is there a gap between that and the carpeting? Or does it rub against the carpeting?
No, it doesn't rub. There's probably a gap.
Okay. And when I look at the carpeting where that door, you wouldn't say this because you have the door open. I want you to clean the closet really well, okay? And for 3 days, okay, stay with me. When you're not using the closet, now you've cleaned the closet. It looks fabulous. I've dusted all my black clothes. I've gotten the goat out of there, and everything's great. And so then you're not in the closet. I want you to close the closet. I want you to wrap up a towel and put it at the base of the door. I think the dust is coming in under the door.
Okay.
And I want you, now the other thing is, too, the rest of the house is not dusty, correct?
Let me
ask you this. In the vent, in the heater vent that's in your small closet, that is a heat vent, not a return air, right? Like you feel heat coming out of it when
Correct.
You... Okay. So I think that what's happening is there's some break in that ductwork that comes into that closet, and that's where... is coming from. So along with this test, I want you to take some paper and tape it over the vent.
Okay.
Now the closet's going to be cold. Is it an interior closet or is it on an outside wall?
It's on an outside wall.
But just one wall?
Just one wall.
Okay. So maybe it won't get too cold. So for 3 days, this is what I want you to do. The vent is sealed up. Nothing's coming out of it. You're closing the door when you're not in the closet, and you're keeping a towel underneath the closed door. And if in 3 days we don't get any dust, then we're going to take towel away, and we're still going to keep the door closed, and we're going to see a day from now if it's dusty, right? So then if it's not dusty then we know it's coming from the ductwork, and you probably have to have the ductwork sealed to stop the dust.
Wow, okay.
But if I'm...
Would cleaning the ductwork help?
Well, cleaning the ductwork would help, but the problem is you're telling me it's only happening in one spot. So if it's only happening in one spot, what makes me think is there's some breach in that line of the heat vent that comes to the closet, and that's picking up dust. If there's a... So in other words, you know, imagine a piece of ductwork and it's, you know, pieces put together, but if there's a gap in the ductwork, as the air is blowing... It creates almost a Venturi effect where it creates a vacuum, and it could be picking up dust inside the wall and bringing it up into your into your closet.
Gotcha.
Make sense?
Gotcha. We'll do it, and I appreciate
Call me back. Help. Call me back. Let's see. If you do this test, you should let me know by next Saturday. Call me.
Okay, will do. All right. Thanks, Lou.
Bye-bye. Small closet. It's not that big. It's not that big. It's 14 by 14. That's a big closet, right? Wow. Good for you. That's a lot of clothes to keep track of, and you don't want them dusty. 877-2134-LOU, 8:57 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. We've got Lindsay, he's a Packer fan. Don is a Packer fan. Jordan Burnfield, pride and joy of Deerfield High School, I know is not a Packer fan.
Not a Packer fan, but not as much of a hater as you probably would think.
Well, I'm not a hater. So this is interesting. This is an interesting thing. So I do not like the Packers. I have always... what does that look? I don't like the Packers. Why would you give me that look? You gave me the look like...
I mean, you can't. You
but,
did.
But,
you
I, like little, but I've always been, regardless of his, you know, kind of lunacy about the whole thing, I've always been a fan of Aaron Rodgers and how he plays football. Because the guy's a winner. There's no question. Like, I would never want to... I'd never bet against that guy, especially with 2 minutes left in a game. Right?
Right.
Right? I mean, it's just he's super cool, you know, a cool cucumber on the football field, right?
Yep.
And so today, we're going to watch the game with Mike Chekabowski and his wife. He's a Packer fan. And I need to quickly go out and buy a 49ers hat, which I think are really cool looking.
Oh,
because okay. I'm a 49ers.
So you're
fan.
Rooting against the oh, 100%.
I've noticed a lot of 49ers fans coming out of the woodwork this
right?
week.
Right,
you know
right?
there is a local angle too. If you want to root
Jimmy
against the
Garupp,
Packers.
Thank you. Say go ahead, Jordan.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Pride and joy of Arlington Heights. Right,
Jimmy just G. saying. You know, if you're a Bears fan, you're already rooting against the Packers, but now you can justify it, right. saying you're rooting for the local boy.
Yeah,
right. Although I did hear our former sports guy here on WGN Radio, Sam Panionovich, talking with John Williams yesterday, that the street has the Packers going all the way. That they have all the tools going all the way, winning the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, Rodgers hasn't beat San Francisco in the last three times, only three times they've ever played, so he needs to end that tonight.
How do you know that?
That's true.
How do you
right.
know that?
She is right. That three times.
I remember when I just
the
left the camera, left right now, you know, like 5 minutes ago, and I was gone. I knew you were going to talk about this. I ran up to Dave and I said, give me a fun fact.
Oh my gosh,
see, that's
that is
good.
So
that's
funny.
Good research right there.
The Packers have not
beat the
49ers.
How cool did I just sound?
Wait, you sounded really cool. Yeah, that was...
Don't ask me any more questions.
No, but the way you delivered it, too, you were super sure of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. There's
wow.
no question. Good job.
I
no, well done,
in
Lindsay.
The mirror.
Wait, so the Packers haven't beat the 49ers or Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Wow.
Because I think the Packers did in the 90s at some point, but yes, Rodgers has not. They've faced each other three times, and he's lost every time.
Mm-hmm. In the playoffs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs.
Yes.
In the playoffs.
Wow.
And the last two times were with Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback. So this is the first, this would be the second time with Jimmy G.
And the other subplot is that the day that Rodgers was drafted, you know, because he's from Northern California.
Right.
He was asked if he's disappointed that the 49ers didn't draft him. And his response was, not as disappointed as they'll be for not drafting me. So then the subplot then is that he hasn't been able to beat San Francisco.
Kind of legendary shade for a just drafted guy to throw, though, I got to say.
Yeah. Rowan, and I would imagine that quote is somewhere in the locker room right now.
It's been played all morning everywhere.
I think Schefter tweeted it about 2 hours ago, so as soon as he woke up.
Wow. Well, and is it? And it's in Green Bay, right? They've got the home field advantage, the whole nine yards.
It should be Lambeau, and it's like a 10 degrees, I think, is the high, and then it's about a 10% chance of snow.
That is not easy for people that aren't from. I don't care how hot those benches are. It's cold, right?
Oh yeah. Oh
and
yeah.
And the other thing too is it really? I mean, I realize that all these football players, you know, they're like completely jacked and they're unbelievable in shape,
right?
Put some sleeves on. It's cold.
I know. You can see like the skin like so red. You're like, what are you doing to yourself?
What are you doing?
I can sort of see it for the players though, but like when you see these fans that whip their shirts off,
I was gonna say
5 degrees, it's like you are a special level of just insane.
Or intoxicated.
Yeah, did you see that Buffalo game? There were people out there like although there was one guy that had like he had so much hair on his body he looked like a bear.
I think that was Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback, actually.
It was. That's right. Yep. That's right. The former, you're right.
Such a legend.
He's a legend, and he's crazy. So, anyway, what time is that 49ers game,
7:15.
Yeah. Oh, it's tonight. All right.
Look at me. I'm just answering all the...
She's got it.
Anything you need to know.
She's the authority.
Sure. Jordan, step over.
I was just going to say,
Lindsay, you can take over.
Yeah, how's Aaron's toe?
Mm-hmm.
How's his toe?
It is healing, and he's going to be just fine.
He's going to be just fine. All right. I'm just hoping that we get two teams. I'm worried about the menu that I'm going to plan for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because it's never been as good as when New England played New York.
The Giants.
In the Super Bowl.
2008, right?
Right. And I was able to make Manhattan clam chowder and New England clam chowder. And we did a competition of which was better with our group. And before the game started, we all agreed that the Manhattan clam chowder was better.
And it predicted
and they
the
won
result.
The Super Bowl.
Yep.
Right?
We predicted it with
the I should have bet. Too bad they didn't have that online betting back then.
Oh, man.
I made
now
a
you just, yeah, now you got to make the soups.
So now, I mean, although I did see, you know, the Wiener Circle, which is a famous hot dog joint on the north side of Chicago, and they are known for their what would be the word, Don? Their acidic billboards.
Yeah, that's a good one. The shade that they throw.
They have a billboard. They have a sign out front that they always put stuff on there, and like when the whole Aaron Rodgers thing about "We own you, Chicago," and then they did something with Aaron Rodgers, said "Aaron Rodgers, we own you," and then the word at the bottom was "science." And yep, so they're really funny. It's a funny follow on Twitter, by the way. But they said that when the 49ers beat, I believe if I read this correctly, check Twitter, when the 49ers beat the Packers, they will be giving free bags of French fries out covered with Wisconsin cheddar cheese.
Oh, that'd be a great way to console myself.
Right. So, Don, you're making a trip.
Thank you. Thank you for
877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines. And let's see. That is not there, but I think Maureen is there. Maureen is in Arizona. Hey, Maureen. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you?
A couple questions. A while ago, you had a new-to-loo shop vac that you were talking about, I think. I pour plaster for a living in the garage, so there's a lot of dust and a lot of chunks, and I have a brand-new puppy, and he loves to eat the plaster.
Yeah.
So I need to be able to vacuum up not just dust but chunks of plaster that go flying.
It was a brand-new shop vac that was a metal... it was a kind of a chrome-cased shop vac that we featured, and I'm looking at Lindsay now if she remembers the Noodaloo 2 that we did that was the shop vac. Remember, it was the commercial-grade shop vac, and it was called, I want to say it's VacMaster, something like that. Is that right?
VacMaster Beast Machine, or Beast Mode.
Yeah, something like that. VacMaster was the name of the company. And they've been around a while. You know, the company ShopVac actually went out of business. And the name has been purchased. And I don't know that they're manufacturing just yet. But VacMaster has been around as a commercial product for a while. And it's a really good one. They come in different sizes, different hose sizes. And Lindsay's reminding me it's called VacMaster Beast Series.
Okay. Beast. Got it.
Yeah, it's a good one. How's the plaster? Okay. How's the plaster business? Where are you in Arizona?
Well, I'm in Prescott Valley.
So it's chilly up there at night, right?
We got a little bit of snow this morning.
Oh, yeah.
The plaster business is doing great. We make arts and crafts for campgrounds, and they are booming. So,
love
the plaster business is awesome.
That's great. Good
so,
to hear.
My quick question is: our wood cabinets. What would you suggest cleaning the outside with? These are new wood cabinets.
Just general cleaning, not any, there's no problem, it's not sticky or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Okay. Quite honestly, if it's just general cleaning of the wood surface itself, I honestly would just use a very light mix of warm water and dish soap.
Okay.
But just a little bit, like a couple of drops, and put a little in the sink with a sponge, wipe it down, and then take a damp rag and then wipe that down, and that will just keep them clean. It won't mar the finish, and it'll help you not to build up grease deposits on it.
So when you do build up grease down the road, like in a year or so, what do you use then?
Well, so then, if it's not terrible, you could use something as simple as a crud cutter, which is a really good grease cleaner. And that you can actually, you can dilute that in water, but you could also go full strength and just spray it, let it sit there for, 2 minutes, and then just wipe it away with a damp rag as well. You don't want anything too aggressive because you scratch the cabinets, but that would work really well. Right. Crud cutter is with 2 Ks.
Oh, okay. I did see. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. We'll take a quick break. Hold on. I just lost. That is Sue in Northfield. Hi, Sue.
Hi. My question is, we have a boiler. Is there anything we could do for a whole house humidifier?
Well, not,
I have not, humidifiers set up in each room.
Yeah, not in the sense that anything to do with your boiler.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you know, what you're doing now, do you remember, let me ask you this. You have them all over the house, but, like, where do you spend most of your time?
Well, downstairs.
Like in the living room?
Like in our family room, yeah. Downstairs.
You remember, they still make them, the humidifiers that were like a cabinet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I remember them.
That yeah. is what you should be using on your first floor, and they still make them. And, now, okay. you know, now they're all plastic, but they have a giant wheel, like that a hamster or a squirrel would go in. And and you fill them with water. You literally take, like, a five-gallon bucket, and you fill it. And unlike the ultrasonic ones, which are very effective... The wheel turns slowly, and it's got a pad on it, and as it comes across, they've got a little fan, and sometimes it's just natural humidity entering the air. But that will cover a larger space for you, and it's, so look for a cabinet, let's see, what would you search? Cabinet whole house humidifier or something like that would be what I would search for. But they still make them.
Okay. Okay, great. Remember those. Used to have one.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. Let me tell you, humidity when it's this cold is your friend to make the space more comfortable. I use one in my studio when I'm broadcasting live, and it just makes the room warmer, and it feels good, and it's good on your voice. You know, if you happen to be someone that talks on the radio, you know, keep that thing going. Let's talk to Jerry, who's in Loves Park. Hey, Jerry, good morning. Oh, what happened to Jerry? I just lost Jerry. Okay, so let's talk to, Gail in Deerfield. Hi, Gail.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. How may I help you?
I have a Grohe thermostatic shower valve that is 20 years old, and it's leaking. And I wanted to know if I have to try and find the exact model number or if I could replace it with a different thermostatic valve, whether it be Grohe or a different brand.
Well, you know, Grohe will send you the cartridge for free.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Even after 20 years?
Uh-huh. They're they've always done that. And so you do need the model number or...
Okay, I hit that.
And if you call them and say, hey, I've got this 20-year-old Grohe thing, and they'll send you one for free. You may have to pay the shipping, but they'll send you the valve for free. More than likely with Grohe, because it's such a well-built, and in particular, the Grohe of 20 years ago is way better than the Grohe today, and the Grohe today is still good.
Okay.
But yeah, they'll absolutely send you the part for free.
Excellent. I'm glad I called.
Well, I'm glad you did too, because that's how it works. Without you calling, there's no radio show. That's what we want to do every week, is try and help you with some information that... Lucy? No? Who am I talking to?
Steve.
Hi, who's this?
This is Steve.
Hey, Steve, how can I help you?
Good morning, Lou. So I live in a duplex unit where my unit is the south-facing side, have a first-floor finished wood floor and a finished basement with a drywall ceiling. My first-floor wood floor, it's cold, especially when it's windy. So I suspect the rim joists may not be insulated, but with a finished ceiling on the lower level, what's the best way to maybe do that?
You probably have no insulation. And what's the exterior of the building?
It's clapboards.
Vinyl or wood?
Wood.
Okay. I mean, the only way that you're going to insulate that, more than likely the floor itself, because it's heated below, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so they're not insulated. And the only way that you're going to do that is you got to open up that ceiling.
So open up the ceiling or pop holes in it every 16 inches?
You could pop holes in it every 16 inches, and you could do like a spray foam insulation just for the rim joist, which will probably help a little, but I don't know that it's going to be great. You know what I would try first is take some clear caulking and caulk the base trim to the floor.
The base on the first floor?
Caulk the base trim to the wood floor.
Okay.
Try that first and see if that improves the draft before you go poking holes in the ceiling. Thanks so much for your phone call. I'm bumping up against news time. We're going to do our Just Text Me segment coming up after this report of WGN Radio News from your husband.
You did?
Yes.
From my
years
husband?
Years ago. Your husband.
What?
That is quite a gift.
Was at something and somehow, now either he had the card and he signed it, or he...
No, I do remember this.
And he gave it to me because I was busting his chops about being a Packer fan.
Oh,
and then, this is funny.
I do remember this.
Then you send me a note saying that one of your husband David's best friends from Green Bay is a guy named Corey Starry,
mm-hmm.
who you said is David's age, right?
Yes.
And when... So he begged his wife to name their first son Bart.
Yes.
And it didn't fly, but it sure was funny to watch the debate go down because he would have been Bart Starry.
So
that's
good.
Funny.
Yeah,
that's
so
good.
Good. Didn't happen, but it would have been pretty legendary.
Did they have a boy?
They did.
And do you know what his name is?
I'm blanking on it now.
All right. Well, come back to us on that.
Oh my God.
Do you have some text messages? It's not Bart Starry. I would have at least gone with the middle name.
I know.
Right?
Oh my gosh. They had so many great names can go with Starry.
Oh, yeah.
Shooting.
Shooting.
Twinkle Little.
Yeah.
Wow. That would have been good. Twinkle
right?
Little Starry.
I mean, it went on and on. It was
great. What's another with this? Could do the whole thing.
I know.
Starry.
Twinkling.
Shoot for the... What was
night?
It?
Twinkling.
You go the opposite and go night instead of starry night.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All right. There you go.
Get it. I get it.
Thank you.
Let's see. Okay.
You know, we knew this segment was coming up.
I know. Well, I got thrown off. I had my deck treated. Wally Starry, by the way. Oh, I could not think of his name.
Wally's
That's what they
a
named
great
him.
Name.
That's a good one.
I had a friend. I had a friend named Wally in grade school. I loved him.
Not a
him.
Great name. I know.
Yeah.
Wally. I had my deck treated this year. Should I shovel the snow off when it happens?
100%. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to leave. I mean, maybe broom it off if you're worried about damaging it. Or the thing is, avoid snow shovels with a metal blade. Go buy a shovel with a plastic blade so you don't mar the surface. But any kind of surface outside, you don't want to leave the snow on there. The snow and ice can work into the crevices and actually cause the wood to deteriorate quicker. So remove the snow as much as possible. If you can avoid using ice melt on that kind of stuff, it's great. But if you have to do it, remember, replacing a board here or there down the road is way cheaper than replacing a knee or a hip and less of a hassle.
Let's see. Here we go. Does having a skylight in a bathroom require changing the location of the exhaust fan? The skylight goes up an additional 20 feet.
I mean, it could. It all depends on the location of the skylight. The other thing that you could consider is they have these what's called sky tunnels or tube skylights that they can install that can weave through an attic space, and it's like this ultra shiny metal tube that reflects the light, and then they put a diffuser up at the ceiling, and you get the natural sunlight in a bathroom that is awesome. We had a sponsor, Daylighting Solutions. Daylighting.
It's like Daylight Home Solutions.
Something like that. Daylighting Home. They're out of Glenview, right? Daylighting Home Solutions, I believe, and out of Glenview, and they're a big Velux.
Houseworks Daylighting Solutions.
That's what I knew it was. Houseworks, not House Smarts. Houseworks Daylighting Solutions. They specialize in skylights and doing these what's called sky tubes or sky tunnels, whatever they might be called, different manufacturers. can do this. And I love those. I think they're beautiful. One more? How about one more?
One more. I am wondering about converting a gas fireplace to electric. Is there any concern for the for heat with the electric outlet being on the back wall of the fireplace?
No, because the electric fireplace inserts, depending on what you choose, all the heat comes out of the front. It really is. It's a space heater. It's an electric space heater with some amazing photographs or special effects that make it look like flames. And I will tell you that some of these electric fireplaces, when they're done properly, you could walk up to them and think that it's a real fireplace, and it's basically a space heater kicking out of there. One more. You have one more? A bonus?
One more.
This is a bonus?
This is a bonus.
I'm going to say it's something about Green Bay.
How about Ringo Starry?
Done.
Well,
if my
done.
Last name was Starry, it would definitely be that. Right?
So good.
Right. I love it. All right. That's our Just Text Me segment that could absolutely be sponsored by State Farm. Don't text and drive. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to your phone calls right after this. Mark, what's your final answer?
Boy, he's a hard guy to read, Lou.
Isn't he, though? I mean, I would
think he wants an NFL job, but I don't know if he's going to get offered one, I guess.
Doesn't he have all kinds of little kids that he's raising in beautiful Ann Arbor? If I did not live in Chicago, I would live in Ann Arbor. It is such a beautiful town.
Well, and then from what I hear, his father basically lives in his backyard, and he lives where his mentor Bo lives, so I'm not sure why he wants to move on. I guess he wants to win a Super Bowl, so can that happen with the Bears?
I wouldn't go to the Bears. How can I help you, Mark?
I have a quick Packer joke for you. How many Packer fans does it take to change a light bulb?
Wait, hold on. It's a clean joke, isn't it?
It is. It is.
How many? Give me one more time. How many what?
How many Packer fans does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know. How many, Mark?
Three. One to change the bulb, and two to talk about how well the old one burned.
That's good. Did you have a question, or were you just doing jokes all morning?
No, I have a question other than talking football. So, hater,
that old bulb really burned well for all those years. Yeah, that's good. That is good. That is good.
So last summer, Lou, I noticed in my garage that's unheated but insulated, some of the drywall tape was hanging. So I, of course, pulled on it, and the next thing you know, it all came off,
right,
all the way down the ceiling and walls. And so I had somebody repair it. They used, they took all the old tape out, and they put the fiberglass mesh tape in and Durabond. And lo and behold, when it got cold this year, it's cracking. So I'm not sure what is going on, if there's a moisture problem in there.
No, I bet you. And is this on, Mark, is this on the wall or in the ceiling of the garage?
Both.
Yeah.
And then, Lou, the ceiling has like a metal joint in it that allows the drywall to move, I'm assuming.
Because you have trusses.
Yes.
Right. So it's just moving. So there, if it's got trusses, that metal joint that you're talking about, there's a phenomenon called truss lift that occurs with these manufacturers' trusses, and they do move, and based on temperature, and it has, you know, probably where on the walls where you're getting the seams, it could be the ceiling even affecting that as well, but the only way you're going to alleviate that problem is on those seams where it's happening, you probably have to open up the wall and install additional blocking between the studs and that stud that's moving to try and keep it from twisting or turning or whatever it's doing based on temperature. And with the trusses, you know, the thing is they are going to move, and that bottom cord of the of the truss actually arcs up and lifts, you know, like a cat.
Yeah.
You know, that you yeah. see a cat do that. And that can happen during the process of different temperatures. The reason gosh, this has got to be back in the early 2000s, the late 90s. Mike and I built a home in Chicago. It was, and we used these giant trusses across this really big, like 6,000 square foot home that we built in Chicago. And after we were all done, it was a beautiful home. It was really quite lovely. 6 months later, we noticed all this separation happening, and it's really one of the first times that the truss manufacturers discovered this phenomenon, especially with really large trusses, of this thing called truss lift. And we had to kind of make up at that time. We were working with the truss companies how we could alleviate this, and that movement, that metal sleeve that you're talking about, is something that came out of them learning how to alleviate this problem because it wasn't going to go away. So for you in a garage, I'd almost let it go and not worry.
Yeah, that's right.
And not worry. I mean, because if you're busting open drywall and for what? It's a garage, right? If it was inside your house, then I would say, okay, let's cut it open and put this additional blocking in there. But as long as you're certain there's no moisture coming through, which I highly doubt, I think it's just movement of the building.
Just movement, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as long as the tape doesn't come off, I'm okay with the cracks.
Right.
If it got bad enough, I thought, well, maybe I could just cover it with some plywood and paint the plywood even.
Right.
So, okay, that's interesting. I hadn't heard of the truss lift.
Yeah,
so
it's
learned something today.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I appreciate you calling, sir.
All right, have a good day, you guys.
You got it. Be well. 877-213-4-LOU. This is...
any idea?
Hey, Jan in St. Charles, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, hi, Lou. This is Jan. I'm just calling, just wondering if you have a name of a company for a dehumidifier for a basement. We have a ranch home, about 2,400 square foot home, and our basement is damp most of the year.
800 square.
And it's probably about 800 square foot basement.
Who's that guy yelling at you in the back?
Oh, that's my husband.
Oh, all right. Tell him to pipe down. I'm talking to you right now.
Okay.
You know, if it's always damp, Jan, then what I would suggest is you call PermaSeal to have them come and install their SaniDry system. And this is it's made for residential homes, but it is a commercial grade quality whole floor basement dehumidifier that they will install and pipe properly, and it will not only filter the air, but it will dehumidify. In a space like that, it will change the overall air quality of your home dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's called PermaDry. SaniDry.
Okay.
Excuse me. It's called SaniDry. They may even have a unit now that's called Sedona, you know, sort of like, you know, Arizona and nice and dry in Arizona.
Okay.
But their number, do you have a pen or a pencil?
Yes, I do.
800-421-SEAL.
SEAL. Okay. All right. I got it.
And that will 100% work for you, and they'll handle the whole thing.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and you have a good day.
You too. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.